The following person represents the Moosehead Region Futures Committee at the January 18, 2008 meeting of the Land Use Regulatory Commission concerning the Plum Creek proposal.
My name is Nina Claire with the Moosehead Region Futures Committee. This is for a few questions for Frank Richards. In your testimony, you stated you reviewed IFW files on the Six Lakes proposed for development, which included data showing significant habitat for survival and well-being of fish species found in these particular waters, and that you also interviewed the Moosehead Region staff, and then concluded there would be no adverse impact due to the development. However, in the September 17th report, pages 20-23 filed by Fish and Game, they report specific adverse impacts as real concerns. My question is, were some of the fishery experts' concerns not covered in your interviews?
Could you please remind me what their concerns were?
Yes, I'll give you an example. On page 21, it states, increasing the fishing on a magnitude of 3 to 4 times will have a severe negative impact on most wild fisheries, as well as concerns of the high risks that come from illegally or unintentionally stocked invasive non-native fish and plant species. Would you agree that these particular impacts could change the character of the Moosehead Lake fishery? Not just the lake, but the region's fishery?
The illegal introduction of non-native fish species is a concern no matter where it happens. Bringing in a development such as this, I don't believe will change the likelihood or unlikelihood of this sort of activity happening. Moosehead Lake, as you may know, is already the beneficiary of two illegal introductions, smallmouth bass and white perch. Whether or not the Plum Creek development goes through will not change the likelihood of other species showing up, but I don't believe there's a direct relationship there.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask that you be a bit brief, and I will too, because we're, as a group, we're short on
time. Okay, I won't belabor that point.
Thank you.
You did ask about the amount of fishing pressure increasing by 3 to 4 times. I'm not exactly sure where that figure came from. The increased number of people in the area does not mean that there will be a direct increase, a proportional increase in the amount of fishing pressure.
Okay, that will lead me to my next question then.
Okay.
In your testimony on page 3, you state there would be no undue adverse impact on the Six Waters since the department already manages highly developed areas of waters in other parts of the state. So my question is, would you agree that the Moosehead region offers a distinct experience compared to, say, Sebago Lake, which is highly developed?
Moosehead Lake is not significantly different from Sebago Lake as far as that. There's a lot more development on Sebago, but they both provide fine fisheries. The lakes that we looked at, of those six lakes.
Sir, the question was whether Moosehead is a distinct experience. If you could just send me your response to that directly, we can move on.
Okay, sorry. No.
Thank you. Would you agree that the lower use and the lack of intensive development are key to the attractiveness of fishing in the Moosehead region, going back to that distinct quality? Yes or no, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Some of this has been covered, so bear with me. In your testimony, for all six waters, you state, quote, none of the shoreline or lake area in the development area has been identified by IF&W as significant habitat for any of the fish species in the lake. It was brought up, my question is, when was the last time these waters were surveyed? And I think it was established in, you know, 45 years ago.
Well, that's not necessarily so. Some of these surveys are lakes are visited quite frequently. It's just that these lake survey maps are produced infrequently or rarely.
Okay. According to retired Moosehead Region fisheries biologist Roger O'Clair, who actually conducted the survey, the surveys were only cursory. That is, in order to identify the immediate tributary, the fish species, and the physical and chemical characteristics of the water. Do you agree with him? Yes or no?
Yes.
As a fishery biologist, would you agree there is the potential that habitat and spawning areas may exist but are not known, given only limited surveys were completed? Yes or no, please?
Yes.
Would you agree that additional survey data is needed to properly identify spawning, potential spawning and or nursery habitat where development and or extensive use is proposed? Expand a little, but okay, bear with me.
Since the original survey that Roger did, I would suspect that there have been additional surveys that were brought into my conversation. However, additional surveys beyond that are never a bad idea.
Thank you. In your testimony, you stated you conducted site visits of the six waters. Did you investigate the shoreline and immediate structure of the bottoms and the banks of each of the water locations being considered for development?
I did not rely on the regional biologist for that information.
How many times did you go to those waters, each of those waters? More or less.
Some of the waters I've been to many times throughout my career, and some of them only once or twice.
I'm thinking in specifically to for the report, not for recreational, reasons, but in order to file a professional report.
You mean for this specific report?
Yes.
I went to three of the lakes, and the other ones I relied on my past experiences.
Mm-hmm. In your testimony, you conclude that, quote, none of the lake shores along or adjacent to development zones include significant fish spawning, nursery, or rearing habitat. My question is, one of my questions, would you agree it is common practice among fishery biologists not to survey all of the lake shore to see if it's suitable for spawning, nursery, or rearing habitat, especially on large and rarely or lightly used waters?
That may be
correct. Thank you. Is it possible that you and or IMW staff may not, at this time, be aware of springs that flow into the lakes or ponds that are important for spawning, nursery, and survival habitats?
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree that more intensive use requires more than a cursory survey to manage the fishery resources?
Yes.
Thank you. Would you agree that siting construction on or near spring-fed habitat could adversely affect the trout populations in certain waters? And I'll just give one example, as in the characteristics of burn pond. My general question is, the spring-fed areas are important, are they not?
They certainly are.
As a fishery biologist, would you agree it is important to observe and investigate proposed development sites before the fish habitat and the fish become vulnerable? I'm thinking of specific sites in relation to development zones. In other words, if the survey is very old, then shouldn't there be site?
I would think that once the specific development plans are proposed, that the immediate vicinity should be resurveyed.
Thank you. Would you agree that unless the locations proposed for development have been investigated, that even a field expert can't say there would be no undue adverse impact?
Until you know exactly where your development is going to be, what the extent is going to be, and where it's going to be, and what BMP is going to be put into place to ameliorate undue impacts, maybe premature.
Thank you.
Now, Tom Creek.
Thank you, Ms. Ginger Davis, from the group. Hey, Brandon, how are you? So you think that you were looking at a Class A stream, correct? Do you believe that Class A streams are adequate, the water quality in Class A streams is adequate to protect brook trout populations?
What phase of rule it is?
It is. And isn't the aquatic life standard for Class A stream that naturally occurs?
Yes.
And that would mean brook trout?
But the main DEP uses the brook trout as an index of water quality because the standard calls for water quality to be such that it allows for the growth of indigenous fish. And the DEP uses the water quality requirements of brook trout as a way to address that.
Okay. And as I understand your testimony, you are talking about possible impacts to brook trout on the three streams that you looked at based on water quality pollution issues that are based on data that you got from Mr. Quiverman. Did I say his name?
Quiverman.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if none of those things come to pass, your concerns are very different.
My concerns were about water quality that you would have on native species.
So if the Class A standards are maintained and protected, your concerns are very different from what you would have in your pre-file testimony, correct?
Yes.
In the document that you cited in your testimony concerning Eastern Brook Trout Action Strategies, document by the Eastern Brook Trout Joint Venture. I got that mostly right?
Yes.
Okay. And both in the generic document and in the main specific document, don't they identify conservation as the principal strategy to protect brook trout and brook trout habitat?
Well, they identify a variety of strategies. Conservation is certainly one, and habitat degradation is also identified as a very important issue.
Yeah, I think you've answered the question.
Sure.
So the answer is yes, conservation and specifically conservation easements are identified as a very important strategy for protecting brook trout waters.
Yes, it is.
And in that same document, let me back up. You looked at approximately 12 miles of stream in those three stream watersheds.
I can't tell you the exact mileage of the streams.
Is that about right?
Approximately. Yeah.
Okay. And in that same report, it says that there are 22,248 miles of brook trout streams in Maine. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
Did you look at or did you consider the Class A streams in the conservation areas?
No, my scope was just to look at the development envelopes.
Do you have any guess on how many miles of brook trout streams are in those conservation acres?
None whatsoever.
But that would be important for if you had close to 400,000 acres of conserved area that would be important for brook trout if they're Class A streams and brook